Okay, welcome back everyone. We're on page 54, application 22/35886, land adjacent number 1, Brazenhill Lane, Horton. Steve, are you taking this one?
I am, yes. Thank you, Chairman. This is planning application 22/35886, if you will, land adjacent to 1 Brazenhill Lane. Planning permission is sought for a two-storey dwelling house. The location plan shows the extent of the site, which is outlined in red. In fact, a point of clarification, this is taken from our internal mapping system, but the actual red edge of the site is indicated on the submitted plans. So that is the red edge of the site, that is the extent of the development boundary. The site comprises an area of incidental open space adjacent to number 1 Brazenhill Lane. This is an aerial view of the site. The site is set within a residential suburban area, which itself is within a sustainable settlement boundary of Horton. This is a photo plan which shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 looks towards number 1 Brazenhill Lane. Image 2 is looking north towards the site. Image 3 is looking east towards the site and the side elevation of number 1 Brazenhill Lane. Number 4 is looking towards an enclosed substation. Image 5 is looking south towards the site. Plan 1 shows the location plan and the site outlined in red is the extent of the development boundary. Plan 2 shows the proposed site plan, which includes the proposed dwelling, the boundary treatment and the proposed parking provision at the north of the site. Plan 3 shows the proposed street scene with the proposed dwelling on the left hand side. Plan 4 shows the proposed elevation and the floor plan. So, in summary of the officer's report, the development is located within a sustainable settlement boundary of Horton and is therefore considered a sustainable location for additional houses. The proposed dwelling is considered acceptable. Proposal on balance is also considered acceptable in terms of its visual impact on character and fits the area. The development is acceptable in terms of its impact on residential amenity and highways and access, subject to appropriate special area of conservation contribution being secured. The development's impact upon the Canning Chase special area of conservation would be mitigated. The planning application is therefore recommended for approval, subject to conditions and the SAC contribution being secured via a legal agreement.
Thank you very much. I think we have an objector to this application, John Brumwell. Are you clerk at Horton?
I'm a clerk at the Parish Council.
Okay, right, thank you. Take a seat, please. 3 minutes, sorry for keeping you waiting.
That's okay.
You get a nod after 2 minutes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good evening. The Parish Council objected to previous proposals in July 2022 and at its June meeting identified the following concerns. Policy N1, which covers design, the applicant has not demonstrated how the proposed development will meet the requirements of respecting and strengthening the continuity of street frontages. The original development of Moat House Drive was evidently based on low to medium housing density, with the land at junctions deliberately left undeveloped to lessen the impact of development on the existing street scene and mitigate the impact of housing development on the ancient settlement of Horton. Evidence of this interpretation is all around the proposed development site, including the open space on the opposite corner of Grace Mill Lane and the large open spaces at the junctions of Moatenhouse Drive with St Giles Road and Brook End, which are just a stone's throw from the proposed development site. Allowing what is, in effect, the subdivision of garden space for development runs counter to the original design ethos and would potentially establish an unhelpful precedent. It should also be noted that the principle of development for this particular site has not been established, as it has never actually been built on previously. Policy C4, which deals with housing conversions and subdivisions, there is an issue here with the actual on-site parking as demonstrated in the plans. The revised plans show two parking spaces adjacent to the electricity substation on the north end of the site. The parish council is concerned by the proximity of the proposed parking provision to the existing substation and notes that no response has been received from Western Power Distribution regarding this proposed use. Parish council also notes that paved and gated access to their back garden has been enjoyed for many years by the occupants of one Grayson Hill Lane, directly across the area identified for the proposed development's parking. So that is actually there. You can see it in, I think it was photo 5, you can see the gated access. Policy N2 deals with climate change. The proposed development will remove land currently available for rainfall infiltration and increase runoff into the highway's drainage network. The Parish Council further notes that until developed for housing, there was at this location a large pond, possibly an offshoot of the original moats that gave Moatenhouse Drive its name. Neighbours have expressed concern that development of this site would cause drainage issues and potentially raise the water table in the immediate vicinity of the development. Finally, Policy N4, Natural Environment. The proposed development will remove an area that currently promotes wildlife permeability and that's been open space since Moatenhouse Lane was first developed. Again, permitting the proposed development would potentially establish a precedent for further subdivision and development of properties, leading to exploitation and sustainable overdevelopment of unsuitable sites.
Okay, thank you, John. Thank you. Sorry, I had to rush you at the end there.
That's fine.
Okay, so you've heard the officer report. We've got an objective, which you just heard. There is no supporter. So who wants to? Mark. It was called in by Councillor Emma Carter, who's not here, but previously called in by Councillor Mark Winnington when he was ward member for the area. So on this occasion, we will let you have your 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chair, and members, for allowing me time for what is, it's a short presentation, incredibly important for the people who live in Horton and surrounding areas. It's been a best kept village for several years on the run, and I can honestly say the people in the village do care about their village, and there's an awful lot of dissent about this monstrosity that's been put on, just plonked in the court on a corner plot. There's no hedges or anything hiding it. It's just going to stand out like a sore thumb. It's what I would describe, or my father would have described, as a tomtit on a round of beef. We'll go into the report, please, if we can. Again, as has just been mentioned by the clerk, this has not been part of a garden. So it has, as it says in the report, garden use has not been formally established. It was a greenfield area and treated as a greenfield area, mown, and a lot of drainage goes into that area, but I'll come on to that in a minute. In terms of character and appearance, obviously this is a residential amenity at the moment for the village. The villagers do use it for walking the dogs on when they go for walks and such like. As I say, in terms of character and appearance, I would stick with the reason I called it in, as a matter of impact on street scene. Another report says it won't stick out, but I can assure you, if in the days when we used to have site visits, if you've gone and had a look at it, you would see that it's not the best use of that site. In fact, the best use of that site would be to do nothing, I believe, because it is. In terms of the Soaker Way, the officer's report says there's no available evidence that the site is a formal Soaker Way for the surrounding houses and estate. The site is not in flood zones 2 and 3, and there are no records of surface water flooding hotspots on or around the site. I would add an addendum to that and say, at the moment, there are people living in the village in living memory who did see it before it was developed, and as has just been mentioned, it is an old pond that's been filled in and part of the substructure in terms of water flow. As soon as you start building on it, it's going to have all sorts of implications on all the surrounding areas. There is a reason why the roads are called Moat House Road, and the moat house on the plan is shown there. And could I ask a question, please, in terms of the boundary? Because the boundary that's shown in the report is not the boundary that is there at the moment. Is that the gentleman or applicant has actually extended the boundary closer to number one? Is that right or wrong? I'll ask for that clarification after the report.
Steve covered that at the beginning in terms of the plans.
Yeah. Could we have that when I finish? Because that can take the time off. Otherwise, if you look on page 65, there's numerous. I'm sure you've all read it in great detail, but there's numerous reasons why the parish council feel it's wrong. On page 66, 22 neighbours were consulted, and 6 representatives on the recent consultation. But previously there was 13 representations as well.
1 minute, Mark, please. 1 minute.
All right. Yeah. And I would draw your attention to the first paragraph, which goes on about the old stream bed and all the reasons which in a previous application tonight we don't know what's underneath. And I think that we should sometimes have a look at what's there. Because I've just got 1 minute, I'll just ask for the committee to number one, turn this down in terms of street scene and the impact on the whole village, not just on the local area. Please take note of the flooding issues that I mentioned about Moat House, and I would like the boundary question answered. And I'll finish. So thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Both Councillor Winnington and the parish clerk have identified a number of policies there, and I notice C4, N1, N2, N4. However, neither of them has mentioned the principle of development in terms of SP1 and SP3. Horton is a key service village, it's within the settlement boundary, and in SP1 there's a presumption in favour of sustainable development. So the fact that the fact that it's a green site, that there's not been a house on it before, doesn't mean it's not acceptable. And in fact, in terms of our plan, it's acceptable in principle. And that's where locations like this, I'm not particularly promoting this site, but this type of a location within the settlement boundary is where we need to find houses. Otherwise, you're building on green fields outside settlement boundaries if we can't demonstrate that. So the principle of development is established by the policies of the plan. The fact that there's not been a house there before doesn't make any difference. There's no evidence that it's protected open space, because that would be a different matter. So if, for example, there was if, for example, it provided a play area or something that as a result of an earlier housing application, that's different. But there's no evidence of that. It's And looking, you can see, if we go back to one of the earlier plans, that one, thank you. So you can see to the north, adjacent to number two, whatever that road is, St Giles something. Anyway, you can see there's a narrow strip there as well of incidental open space. But if you look back at the photo Steve showed you of that one, in this particular case, it's been paved over. So, what the other thing you need to bear in mind is that on the plans, so it shows that you can accommodate a dwelling with a suitable sized garden area and still have a relatively narrow strip of grass to the side of it, so it's not going up to the highway. So, yes, in street scene terms, it's a house where there's grass at the moment. I understand that impact, but it doesn't look different in scale to the other houses nearby. It doesn't. I'm struggling looking at that to see how you could justify a refusal on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Is this clarification?
Yes, as I say, thank John for the enthusiasm of explaining why we should pass this. Could you please tell me why the boundary on the and this report and the boundary that we're seeing are different?
It's just the way in which the plan at the start of the presentation, not that one, that's the first one. This plan is taken from, it's just used to prepare the committee, it's just used to prepare the report, but it's not actually a proposed plan, it's just something that we've put together for today and for the agenda. The actual proposed red edge boundary is this one, which has been submitted by the applicant. So this is the proposed boundary. And then the other boundary is just something that's been put together for the agenda and for the committee presentation.
And as you say, they're slightly different, but that's the submitted what plan is what you're considering.
Yeah, Chair, can I just lodge, from my point of view as a councillor, and for the residents, and I've been asked about this by residents tonight, it does seem wrong that we're putting a plan out with all the planning notes, which is different to the actual plan itself.
Which is why Steve covered it at the beginning of his presentation.
But it doesn't give the parish councils or anything a chance to sort of comment on it.
It's not a major material thing.
Thank you.
Councillor Spencer?
Sorry, I just want some clarity on the boundary, because looking at, certainly on Google and looking at the shops that are included in the application, it seems that the boundary doglegs out to where there's a gated access that's been tarmacked over for the adjacent property. What is the ownership? What's going on there? Because the boundary is shown as straight in the application, however, the boundary of the property next door is quite clearly not. Especially if you see it in the photographs, and you just scroll through the photographs, it's shown straight there, and we come back to the photographs. That's a good one if you go back. See, the dog legs out here, they've got sort of an access coming in. So, are they proposing that the proposer is taking part of that land away from the property next door, or was it? I don't understand.
And this goes back to why it doesn't look quite right on the plan in the report. That as I understand it from the report, the previous owner of the property also owned the land to the side.
Right.
Moved the boundary fence prior to selling the property, and has also sold the plot, the land to the side as a separate building plot. So in other words, increasing the size of the garden from what it was. So what you see there now is what you're considering in the plan. Yes, that's right. So it's the same on the photograph as to what the plan shows.
The plan's a straight line, though, isn't it? But that boundary's not a straight line.
No, but this photograph is taken from, go back to the,
from by the substation.
There's a better view that's going in. It's his accent.
No, keep going. That one, yeah. Yep. So this photograph is taken from about up here.
Yes.
So that line you can see is this.
No, it's not. No, it's not. The property's got an access which is going over the top of where those car park spaces are.
Are you suggesting that that's...
No.
Yeah, that double gated entrance is the entrance to the property, right. That's the substation.
For clarification, please, yeah. Chair, I've just been told by the clerk the paved bit is actually the entrance to number one. So it's not included in that in the plan, and then you've got the substation further on. I'm quite unhappy about the boundaries, honestly.
May I just go forward?
Hold on.
Just
wait. Hold on. Wait a minute. Need permission first of all. Do we want to comment on Councillor Winnington's? So what you're suggesting, Councillor Spencer, is that the areas to the south of the substation now form the rear access to number one.
Yeah, the part of the yard is number one, certainly by looking at the most recent of those photographs and looking at Google Street Map as also looking at here. So it's
So what you're saying is that the double gates on there are where the parking spaces are shown.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I agree with you. So one of the spaces probably, but yeah.
The parking spaces will be integrated into the development site.
That's it's image one. 4, isn't it? It's shown clearly on image 4.
I think, so are you raising an issue then in terms of this is including land which is in the ownership of number one?
Indeed, I think that it needs to be re-looked at and resubmitted, noting that because the car park allocation of car parking space cannot be created because it's owned by somebody else.
So can I just ask how you know it's part of number one?
You put the photographs, the fence line, and it's.
I can see the gates.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's behind the gates, and I don't.
It's the garden of
number one.
So the implications are that if whoever owns number one has sold that land off, and they say, okay, you can park your cars where we have access at the moment.
There you are. Drop back one, please, if possible. Not on the plans. There, it's shown the dog leg there. And then you've got there, and shown that photograph as well.
Chair, can I suggest that the local knowledge in terms of having the clerk here is taken on board?
I just need to be sure what we're talking about, first of all, because I don't understand why you're saying that there's an issue with that parking or parking being integrated into this application site.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, Councillor Reid.
Is the owner of the number one, what's it called? The person who sold this land?
No.
But number one has access via gates on land that from what I understand, has been sold to for development. And so they've had gates that they've used by, they've installed gates themselves in their own fence to use over some land that doesn't belong to them. Is that what's happened?
The previous owner did.
Land,
there seems to be confusion from the top to the bottom here. The officers are not quite certain on the fencing. Although I don't want to be critical, but I think this is a prime case for a site visit to, for us all to see what's going on.
Are you proposing a site visit?
I'm sorry to keep referring back to Google Maps, but you could measure quite accurately distances on here. And the distance between that gate, double gate there, and the curb line of the pavement is 4 metres. So it couldn't fit a car in anywhere if we'd taken those gates to remain. So they'd have to increase, the garden number one would have to be taken into account to allow cars to be parked in that area.
So in terms of, there seems to be a couple of issues in terms of ownership, and it kind of goes back to what we were discussing with the previous application. The applicant has submitted a planning application which outlines the boundaries of the development site, and it, apparently the red edge includes that parcel of fence which extends into that site. When the applicant submitted the application, they would have had to sign an ownership certificate, either stating that they own the land or they served notice on the person who does own the land. I wasn't case officer for this application, so I don't know which ownership certificate they have submitted, but there is no reason why you can't submit an application for development on land that you do not own. Yeah, I mean, this is hypothetical, but in theory they could have submitted a red edge which includes all of number one, so long as they served notice on them.
Have they served notice?
What I'm advised is that that piece of land that's dogleg has got a fence on either side of it. So
right.
It's not within the rest of the garden, number one, and it's also clearly not within the open area here.
Right.
Now, as Steve says, we haven't got the ownership certificate to hand here at the moment, so I can't tell you positively, but my guess is that they that it includes all of the land within that, albeit that some of it is behind that part of fence at the moment.
Should we be approving planning on guesswork then? Should we not have that clarity that what we're looking at is actually...
It goes back to what we said about that application a couple of hours ago, doesn't it, in terms of... it's a similar kind of situation.
I feel like I'm being dogmatic. The boundaries just aren't clear to me, that's all, on this application.
You must be, I'm failing to understand.
So basically, what's happened is that the boundaries now at the back of there. This bit is fenced off both sides. So he's suggesting it's part of their garden. It's not part of the garden. It's not part of this either. It's because the
Councillor Roy James.
There seems to be a confusion amongst the committee as to the exact boundary of this application. Might I suggest, therefore, I don't think a site visit is appropriate, but perhaps that this application should be deferred until the boundary issues have been resolved and shown clearly to the committee.
Is that your proposal? Second that. Second that. Okay, take a vote on defer and to research the land that we're actually deciding upon. All those in favour of defer?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, thank you.
Can I thank the committee for all their time and effort?
Chairman?
Yes.
I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to go.
Oh, it was just getting fun as well, ma'am.
I can see it going on for another hour.
No. Okay, right, it's my turn to vacate the chair for this application and invite Councillor Johnny Nixon. Okay, but please bear with me, I haven't done this before. The final application on the agenda is 23/3721/HOU, 43 Ridgeway, Hickson.
Thank you. This application is for the erection of a garage to the front of the property, number 45 Ridgeway. The property is located at the head of a cul-de-sac, which provides access to this and two other properties. The proposed garage is located at the northern end of the front garden, close to the boundary with number 43 Ridgeway, and it measures 6.6 metres long by 2.7 metres wide, with a height to eaves of 1.7 metres and a maximum height of 2.7 metres. The design SPD states that garages should be designed to ensure they do not dominate the property or street scene, and they should be sympathetic with the scale, form, materials and architectural style of the existing dwelling. In addition, garages should be sited so as to minimise disturbance and overshadowing to a neighbouring property. The SPD further states that a detached garage will only be permitted forward of a principal elevation in exceptional circumstances where the building's frontage is either sufficiently deep or sufficiently wide so as not to impact on the setting of the dwelling, the character and appearance of the street scene, or impinge on the amenity of neighbours. In this case, because of the length of the front garden and its width across the whole of the head of the cul-de-sac, the location is acceptable, and overall the proposed development would have an acceptable impact on the character and appearance of the dwelling and street scene. The complication in this case is that public right-of-way Hickson 5 runs through the application site immediately south of the proposed development. The only objection to the application is by Hickson Parish Council on the grounds that the building would block the public right-of-way Hickson 5, in addition to the proposal resulting in visual intrusion and impact on the street scene. You will see from the report that the application has been reviewed by Staffordshire County Council with regards to the proximity of the development to public footpath Hickson 5, and that they do not object. The Public Rights of Way Officer states that public footpath number 5 Hickson Parish runs immediately south of the proposed development, and the granting of planning permission does not constitute authority that any interference with public rights of way and associated items or obstruction, whether temporary or permanent. It's recommended the application be approved, subject to the conditions listed in the report. So, this is the red edge boundary, which is 45 Ridgeway. Aerial photograph, and you can see it's on the edge of the built-up area. There are four images, the first of which is taken the long distance view across Ridgeway, it looking into the cul-de-sac. Number 45 is the dwelling with the sloping dormer roof that you can see the whole of, well, just about the whole of it, on to the right of the photograph. Image 2 is a view showing the head of the cul-de-sac and the extent of the front garden of number 45. So basically most of what you can see there is their front garden. Image 3, now this is a closer up view of the application site. Where the garage is proposed is mainly the area where those slabs are. So the site boundary is basically behind the conifer trees, to the left of the conifer trees. Then you've got that area of slabs and then grass. So the proposal leaves about a metre gap between the boundary of the neighbouring property and the garage. And that shows you that same slapped area, the grass and the frontage and driveway of number 45. You can see there the red dot, well, oblong, is the garage, proposed garage shown at the end of the plot. And there it is in more detail, and the elevations of the proposed garage. What we've done here, we have taken the rights of way from the definitive map and shown that on the plan. So you can see where it comes, cuts through the garden to the head of the cul-de-sac. And then the last plan is in more detail. So it shows the garage and the route of the footpath. So you can see that the garage would not block the right of way. And as I said earlier, it is directly south of that. So, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We've got no supporters and no objectors, so I'll ask Councillor McEwen to act as ward member.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll not detain you any longer than necessary. just to say that I had no part in the conversations that Hickson Parish Council had when they were discussing this, so not predetermined in that sense if I were in your shoes. My main point I'd like to draw you towards is on page 76. I called it in because of the potential impact, or to consider the impact, on public footpath number 5, which is shown on the screens just there right now. And I would have imagined that the public rights of way people would have been a lot more concerned about protecting that public footpath than what they appear to be in the wording on page 76, where they refer to the possibility of the existence of a currently unrecognised public right of way makes it advisable that the applicant pursue further inquiries and seek legal advice regarding any visible route affecting the land or the apparent exercise of a right of way by members of the public. Well, I would imagine that's fairly clear that there is a public footpath running there at that point, and that the public rights of way officers should be a lot more strong in their wording and say that the public footpath should not be built upon or in any way obstructed, and that possibly it should be more clearly marked, way marker, because that footpath, as you probably can't see from there, but it does link on to the wider network of footpaths that crisscross the parish of Hickson, maybe that's better, and indeed lead down to towards the allotment gardens, which are there as well. So my preference would be, I'm not going to object in terms of street scene or anything, but I would really appreciate the public rights of way officers tighten up their observations on this so that that footpath is made accessible, is open, a stile is introduced, if there isn't one there already, as part of this approval that you may give. Happy to add more clarity if you need any, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you
Is this footpath in use? Is it accessible at the moment?
It should be, but I would say that the owners over many years of that particular property, number 45, have not necessarily advertised it far and wide that it's available to use. And if it were to be more obvious that it's there, it probably would be used more frequently. As I say, it's a logical footpath link to other footpaths.
Could we put that in the condition at all? To have the footpath signposted or
no? No. It's in.
I can't understand why a footpath has gone through somebody's property. I really cannot understand that.
It's on the definitive map. It's on the definitive map as held by County Council.
Yeah, we've queried it with rights of way. They've come back and confirmed that's the situation.
If I was the owner of that house, I'd sell it.
Just if I may clarify that, basically, that footpath in times gone by would have linked along what is now Tarmac Road.
Gotcha, yeah.
And so when that development was put in, the footpath, you use the tarmac footpath to access the sort of non-tarmac footpath.
I don't think there's any doubt, Mr. Chairman,
are we expecting to approve this development when it actually blocks a current
public
right
of way?
From the photos you showed, it showed it completely overgrown with somebody's conifers.
Yeah, but there's a separate issue. The public rights of what the County Council have a statutory duty, public rights of way.
Yeah.
Now, if the rights of way is blocked, they can deal with that under their legislation. It's not for you to do that through a planning application.
So my question is, so that public way of right of way actually does lie on the land belonging to Borders Crown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Councillor Cross.
Yes, Chairman. It's on page 75. The County Council's public right of way stated that the applicants advised that the granting of planning permission does not constitute authority for interference in the public right of way. So County Council is aware of it, and that is extant. It is a public right of way. If the applicant tries to block that off, then it's up to the County Council to take appropriate action. Therefore, I hear what Brendan has got to say, but I think on that one the answer is there in the report, and I'd like to propose acceptance.
I'll second that.
Councillor James, you ready?
Yeah, I think surely the owner of the property, the footpath should be the other side of the garage, because you showed the red little garage, and he's put it, and then he's coming through with the centre of his property. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's something grandly wrong here.
Well, again, this is why we queried it. That's where the definitive map shows it. Now, he could apply to divert it, but that's a separate matter.
Yeah, I understand that, but he's now putting all the people in his garage, virtually, isn't he? If they use that footpath.
Is it not our responsibility to point out that to the applicants? That a concern that a public right of way is being blocked by their garage that they're throwing up.
If there's a concern that the right of way is being blocked, that's for the County Council to deal with it. It's their duty. It's not. We don't have responsibility on public footpaths.
Mr. Chairman, would we let the County Council know that we think it probably is? Would we do it as a Borough Council? We say to the County Council, there's an application here where it looks as if you're blocking your. Or how do they find out if nobody tells them in the County Council?
Well, we've been back to the Rights of Way officer twice on this, so we've been all together three times. Their view is they don't need to do a site visit. But I would guess that if the Parish Council are concerned, they ought to take it up directly with the Rights of Way.
Yeah, can I come in? Clarification. Yeah, the parish council at Hickson undertook a comprehensive review of all the public footpaths throughout the parish, and noted all of those that were obstructed or inaccessible in some way. And this one was one of those points where it said to County Council Highway, the ROW, this footpath is currently inaccessible. So that's a report that has gone in to the ROW. As I say, it just seems to me that they don't take it seriously.
Thank you. I know that on the plans, there's garage side entrance right onto the footpath, which I know I take on board everything you say about if it's blocking, it's the county council, but it looks like the side there.
Yeah.
The side door will go straight onto the footpath, the public footpath. And they need, I understand why they would want an entrance into a garage at the side, but the fact that it's going straight onto a public footpath, does that not cause concern?
So do you mean the open the door and
yeah,
help somebody walk through?
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that it's there, and I mean, I get everything on board and very much, but that's actually a physical obstruction.
No, it would put people off anyway.
Exactly.
I take on board what the councillor says, but even if the door was open, it wouldn't stop you getting past it, would it? Because you can't really see from this because it's quite overgrown by the trees. But if you had a metre wide path and a door opened onto it and you couldn't get through the path, then I fully understand that. But what you've got here is basically an open garden, other than the trees overgrowing it. But I think they'll have to be cut back to put the garage in. Branches cut back at least anyway. So I don't see that. I take on board your concern, but I don't think that blocks the right of way. And even if it did, it would be back to the county.
Councillor Kenny. So on page 78 of the informatives, four paragraph. If the footpath needs diverting as part of these proposals, the problem must apply to your council and executive authority to divert the public rights of way to allow the development to commence. Does that mean that if it's proven that it isn't the way and it is diverting, he can't commence until he's done all this? But who's that down to? Is that something we can put in as a condition, or is that just purely down to
that
the county council?
What we've got there is that what you've just read out forms part of an informative that would go on the go on the decision notice in any case.
Okay.
It's not a condition, but it's an informative in that it draws that to their attention.
Okay, but we can't put that as a condition that it does.
You can't write a condition saying if something happens, then you've got to do this in the future. I think this is the strongest way you can bring that to their attention.
Okay.
Through an informative and like that.
So in the case of I know we're not going to have a site visit, but without seeing it and walking on the other side of the edge, you wouldn't know where the public footpath was. I mean, you've got to drop.
Exactly, and yeah, it goes back to what Councillor McKeown was saying in terms of the fact it's overgrown, the hedge at the back and everything else. You know, if it was trimmed and you could see exactly where you were walking to, then it would be clear, but that's not the situation at the moment.
Okay.
Just put one thing from that photograph there, dropped kerb. It looks like the garage will be actually opening out. You'll be driving partially over a footpath sort of that's coming straight towards us out of the street. So what is the proposal? The car's going to come down the pavement and then go down a non-dropped kerb? Surely application needs to go into...
That's county.
Well, yeah. Two things. First of all, it may be that the applicants proposed it here to avoid the footpath.
Right.
But secondly, in my opinion, I don't think this will be used as a garage, because looking at the dimensions of it, I think it's too narrow to get a car in.
Right, okay.
You could get a small car in, but yeah. If it's the size, if it's a family car, it's going to be too wide to get in and open the door.
Shed.
So it's basically a shed, yeah. Shed. That's my view.
Right.
You know, so you could keep motorbike in it, lawnmower, that kind of thing.
So the dimensions on this are the opening that is going to be, that is written in, you know, they can't subsequently come along and say, you know what, we're going to increase the size, we'll get a car in here. Because if so, that means they need a door. Do you know what I mean? You can increase the width of that. You can make those doors, the entire width of that shed, and get a car in. And if that's the case, then they need a drop curb. So is the condition? Should the condition be this cannot be used for vehicles? Because if so, you need to put an application for a drop curb.
Yeah.
The curve doesn't line up with the garage.
Especially if you look at that quote, if you look at the photograph that shows next door as well, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the width of the width measured externally of the whole garage is 2.7 metres.
Right.
Mm. And the internal, and the sorry, the internal, the door looks like it says 1.8 metres. Mm. So I take a point in terms of moving the door, changing the doors, but yeah. First of all, if you do approve it, you're approving these plans,
right.
Not something different.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, the eaves height is lower than the top of the door, so you wouldn't be able to get it right to the edge in any case.
Right.
Apart from which, as I said, it's about a metre from the boundary. And
I mean, you can get classic cars that are that width, certainly, if he has one. But
you can also get a motorbike out there as well. But that's yes.
So you know, you're talking about the width of at least one of those rows of flags in any case. Mm. And because you've got such a wide entrance, you could come at an angle.
Right.
If you wanted to avoid going over that bit of curb, if you needed to.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the thing I've always wondered about is, okay, so let's say we approve this. Does anybody ever go back and see what size the shed is just put?
Not unless we get an enforcement complaint.
Mm. Yeah.
We haven't got staff to monitor.
No, that's what I thought. Yes, I just.
Is it?
And no authority does that.
Oh no, I'm not suggesting we're pulling that on job.
Is it a case that maybe the applicant has put in a shed or a garage that currently fits exactly in space to allow the public footpath to come down the side, and then once it's been approved we'll go, oh great, I can now extend it, and then we'd have to go in and it's an enforcement issue, presumably.
Well, if it's not built in accordance, hypothetically, if you approve it,
yes.
If it's not built in accordance to the approved plans, and we're made aware of that, then we will obviously visit the situation. So
right.
If, for example, it's made if built wider, then it's not in accordance with the planning permission.
Okay.
If it's built in a different place, it's not on the site, it's not in accordance with the planning permission. So we would have to deal with that at that point in time.
Sure. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anybody want to make a proposal?
Yes, you've
got
a proposal.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Councillor
Joseph, put the motion through, and then. Right, it's been a motion to approve, and it's been seconded. All those in favour?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Mr. Chairman.
All that's passed.
And against.
Any against? Abstention?
Abstention.
Yeah, 2 abstentions.
Mr. Chairman.
some findings also.
Thank you, Tony.
Which one?
To page 81. Yep, that's page 81. Appeal, Victoria Park House, Victoria Road. The appeal was upheld, but no costs were awarded.
Is that correct?
Yes, Chairman, this is a slightly odd one in the fact that, as you see in the 5th bullet point, the decision supersedes the previous decision, which was quashed in the High Court. So the previous inspector's decision was quashed. Because the inspector refused the application because of a lack of Section 106 agreement or unilateral undertaking relating to the SAC. What the applicant successfully argued was that the inspector should have given them the opportunity to submit a unilateral undertaking, which is what the court agreed, quashed the decision, remitted back to the inspectorate. By this time, the applicant submitted a unilateral undertaking, and you see here it's been approved. So it's kind of what we expected.
So application costs on page 81, is that still not decided?
Yes, on page 86.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the cost of audit as councillor.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Noted, sorry.
So
my mistake.
Award of cost was refused, and that would have been harsh because I've had cost of audit against us after the inspector got it wrong.
Okay. At that point, I'll thank you all for your forbearance. Have a safe journey home.
Really, really.